Welcome to the Palm Coast, the City of Palm Coast Code Enforcement Board meeting for Wednesday, March 11th, 2015. We'll call the meeting to order. Please shut off all of your cell phones and pagers. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we have the roll call, please?
Mr. Brennan?
Here.
Mr. Roberts?
Here.
Mr. Shagnon?
Here.
Mr. Copeland?
Here.
Mr. Muckford?
Here.
Ms. McDowell?
Here.
Ms. Smedley?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning.
Board members, if I could have a motion for the approval of the February 4th meeting minutes.
So moved.
I have a motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So moved. Are there any disclosures of ex parte communications? There being none. Anybody who will be speaking today, please rise for the swearing in along with the staff. Mr. Reichman?
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? When you come forward, please give your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Our first case this morning, board members, is AI 2, case number 2013. Whoop, I'm sorry. The listed withdrawn cases are on the projection background this morning, along with one continued case, AI 11. Thank you, Bill. Our first case is AI 2, case number 2013-10184. It's the City of Palm Coast versus First Coast Energy, LLP, 5 Old Kings Road North, Land Development Code 11.04.02, paren A, effective removal of raising canopy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm Carol Bennett, the Urban Forester for the City of Palm Coast. And I'm entering into evidence the city's composite one, providing proper service along with photographs. And these photographs depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. And the facts of the case are as follows. On the third day of October 2013, a warning notice was written, given 80 calendar days to correct the violation of the LDC 11.02.05A2, which is effective removal, and also the remediation of 11.04.02A, which is a replacement of 6-inch caliper shade trees for quantity. A re-inspect was conducted on December 23rd, 2013, and the violation was not corrected, and the case was set for the March 20, 2014 Code Board. March 2014, Code Board, the case was continued by respondent. Case set for April 2014, Code Board, the case was continued by respondent and set for the July 2014 Code Board. And at that time, we did come to Code Board, and the respondent requested a 6-month continuance, which the board granted. And now here we are today on March for today's Code Board. And the conditions still exist out on site. So I conducted a recheck of the property on the 10th day of March, and the violation has not been corrected. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following: a fine violation order giving 30 days to comply, or a fine of $150 per day, and administrative cost of $69.
Is there anybody here from First Coast Energy LLP?
Good morning. Dennis Fair, legal counsel for First Coast Energy LLP.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I would like to perhaps add a little bit to Ms. Minnie's presentation this morning. When we were here 6 months ago, it wasn't a simple continuance. I think if those of the board members that were here will recall, we had presented pictures of the tree as well as reports from experts, tree surgeons, basically stating that the live oak appears to be in good health. We disagree that there's been effective removal. The tree was overcut. We admit that. We acknowledge that. My clients hired someone to come in and trim the trees, and they went a little bit overboard. But what happened 6 months ago is, based upon the evidence was presented to you, photographs that you all looked at, we agreed that we would postpone the hearing for 6 months to monitor the health of the tree to see if, in fact, it really did require removal. What the city is requesting that we do is take down this tree completely and replace it with four additional trees. This is an area where Old Kings Road is going to be most likely expanded in a couple years. The trees are going to be removed as part of the expansion. That's already occurring as a result of some other planning decisions that are going in the area where retention ponds are being required to be relocated and things of that sort. Our position, and we did have another tree surgeon go out, a different company, and inspect the tree on March the 4th, and I'd like to enter this letter into evidence. But basically, it states that we assessed your 25-inch DBH oak tree and found that it is very healthy. It did not have any visible bad spots, and while we were there, we cleaned up the sucker growth, which is the new growth that comes in, and also the previous cuts to the tree have healed nicely. We injected the tree with basically some chemicals to control fungus, fertilizer, and also bug treatment. And they've agreed to continue to monitor the tree and treat it every 6 months to make sure that it does remain viable. And what I'd like to do is show you pictures. The larger pictures are the photographs that were taken back in July. The smaller pictures are the way that the tree looks today as far as the health of the tree. So if I could just submit these.
Could you present that to the attorney, and also could you give him a copy of that letter you just read from the...
Yes, I can. I'd be happy to.
Your contractor?
And the name of the contractor, again, is TD's Tree Service out of Warren Beach, Florida. And again, they've agreed that they will continue to chemically treat the tree as needed.
It's marked as a respondent's composite. We're going to have these photographs marked as respondent's composite. Exhibit 1, the letter will be respondent's exhibit number 2 for the record.
Sure.
So basically, our position is that the tree has not been effectively removed. We've taken steps to correct the error that was made by the contractor that my folks hired back in 2013 when this was done. I don't see that this tree is going to die. What we would agree to do, what we would propose to do, instead of replacement with 4 6-inch caliber trees, keep this tree there, put 2 2-inch caliber trees on either side of it, so if in the future, for whatever reason, this tree does need to be removed, if it does become unhealthy, which we don't think is going to happen, you would effectively have another canopy coming up to replace it if it had to be removed. But we think that under the circumstances, requiring this tree to be removed completely and replaced with 4 6-inch caliber trees is excessive. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to kind of add on to Mr. Bear's testimony. I am a certified arborist. My number is FL5479A. And our code states effective removal is a removal of more than one-third of the canopy. And that's the situation. It has been effectively removed. Also, their own arborist that originally looked at the tree admitted the tree was overlifted. And the problem becomes when you over-elevate a tree, and it's, I know it's difficult to see here with the picture, but you can see some very improper cuts. And what happens is when you take all the foliage, thank you, out from in here, all the weight now is out here on the ends of the branch. As you see, we have a car sitting right here. Okay? So during wind load or storms pushing on the branch, it's a high possibility that this branch could snap off and come down and hit the car or whoever is standing under here. It could be a beautiful sunny day, and the branch can just fall off. Or during a storm, it's a higher probability that it could come off. And that's the situation, is that when you do effective removal and you improperly prune the tree, you have a hazardous situation on site. And it could be a year from now, it could be 6 months, it could be 2 days. When it comes to trees, we never know. And you can inject trees with different chemicals and fertilizers, but those are no guarantee that the over-elevation and the over-pruning, that that's going to fix. And actually, the sucker growth that Mr. Baer referred to, they keep pruning it off. Actually, they need to leave it remain there for a certain time period to help feed the wound so that the tree can start to heal over that wound. And then an arborist would come in and pick out one of those suckers and start training it to become a new branch. So that way we can start getting more foliage and more branching on this large branch so that we can start balancing the weight. So the situation is that the tree was effectively removed. According to our code, which states that if you remove or over-elevate more than one-third of the canopy of the tree is effectively gone.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. If memory serves, the sequence of events that the respondent's attorney just reiterated was, in fact, what happened at this board meeting. And if memory serves again, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone that was there, the decision of this board was, in fact, to monitor the tree to determine whether or not it was healthy or not. Now, to my opinion, based on what you've said, you were speaking of high probabilities of a problem happening.
Correct.
It seems to me that those probabilities may be exacerbated if the tree is not healthy. But we seem to have had at least two independent inspections of this tree in addition to yours, which certify that the tree is in fact healthy, which to me seems to minimize the likelihood of there being a problem. It would seem to me that the logical action in this situation is to continue to monitor the tree every 6 months to determine if in fact it does pose a hazard because it is no longer healthy. If there should be some problem in the future, and if the branch should fall on a car, I must assume and would ask the respondent to reiterate that they are insured appropriately to reimburse whoever may be damaged in the, in my opinion, unlikely event that there's a problem. Have you, you being the city, brought in any other independent arborists or tree experts to analyze the health of this tree?
No, no, we have not.
Are there any further questions from the board members? My only question is this. If the city is saying that this tree is effectively removed, why are there branches and growth on the tree if it's effectively removed? And why are we removing something that's full of life? I mean, in the pictures that I see here, why are we demanding that somebody remove a living item just because they trimmed too much the first time, which they've already admitted was a mistake on behalf of the contractor, which I guess he's been fired, and they've got themselves another contractor. I just... I hate to see all the trees that have been removed on that whole corridor up through Palm Coast Parkway. I mean, it's barren out there. It's not the city I moved into 27 years ago when there was trees completely lined that whole area. To take down this vital living organism, tree, whatever you want to call it, without giving justification that nobody's telling me that the inside of the branches are hollow. Nobody's telling me that it's infested with termites. Nobody's telling me that a branch is going to fall off in the next 2 days.
May I respond?
Sure.
Because the tree was overpruned, it has changed the structure of the tree. It has changed the uniform balance, the weight, the weighting, the wind load of the tree. And that's the issue. And because we have what we term as targets, if this tree was out in the middle of the woods, it wouldn't matter. It doesn't have anything to hit or fall on or to cause damage or injury to. When you place a tree such as this near roads, homes, businesses, it is a liability. It's a hazard because of the improper pruning. First off, the tree has poor structure to begin with. It could have been, it probably was a natural tree, so in the natural environment. It's not a tree that comes from a nursery that is trained to have a nice one main central leader. This is a tree that was just natural, and they built around it. And then when we overprune it, we harm the tree, the structure of it. And over time, these improper cuts, especially such as these, and the larger that these cuts are made, you start getting decay. And decay starts running up and down inside the tree. And unfortunately, with trees, especially live oaks, it's not something that happens in 4 or 5 days or a month. It's over a long period of time. You know, it's kind of like us. We hurt ourselves, and over a longer period of time, that pain keeps intensifying. Same situation with trees. And our concern, and why we have this in our code for effective removal, is that when all these branches have been removed, then we have all the suckering, which I spoke of before, which is, it's a necessary evil, because the tree is trying to respond to that improper pruning, saying, I have to fix these wounds. I have to heal them over. So they start putting out epicormic sprouts. That becomes a problem if they're not managed, meaning an arborist would need to go in and start removing and trying to train one branch to start becoming a new branch. Then that situation is that new branch is not structurally attached to the tree properly. It's weak. It'll always be weak because it was never the original branch that was originally there. It's like if we broke our arm and we grew a new one, it would never be right like our original. Very same concept. I'm trying to, you know, have you understand more of the biology and the structure of the tree. And why that it takes, it's a long period of time for something to happen. I mean, it could be an act of God. A windstorm come through here and just too much weight out here on this limb, and the wind push it, and it just come off. It could be a beautiful sunny day, and after days and days of the branch twisting and turning, it could just snap off. And that's the situation, is that one doesn't know. And do we want to take the chance of something happening, and if someone were to be standing under there, or they'd be sitting on a motorcycle, or a child under there, and the branch were to rip off and hit them, I mean, they may have liability insurance, yes. But, you know, I wouldn't want to take that chance.
Okay. What I'm basing my remarks on is I had a situation here in the city of Palm Coast for many years. I've been here over 28 years. It was a similar tree. And I called the city of Palm Coast several times to have it trimmed, cut back, removed, whatever was necessary. The response from the city was, we're not in the business of taking down trees. I said, what happens if it collapses? Call us. Well, it collapsed. And it took my screen house and my pool enclosure with it. So these people who have maintained this tree, which the city didn't maintain the tree that was just off of my property, these people have maintained a tree, and they've got licensed individuals coming out here and determining that that's a healthy tree. City wouldn't listen to me when I said I had an almost dead tree in my backyard, and they said there's nothing we can do until it comes down. But $11,000 later, I had my screen enclosure replaced and had all the damage fixed, and the city at that time when I called them said, we'll have somebody come out and clean it up. That's all the city would do. Mm-hmm. Now, if the city reacted the way they are to this tree, to the tree that was hanging over my property that belonged to the city, then I would say that you're justified in making a determination that this is a over-trimmed tree, but at least it was taken care of. If you break your arm and you don't take care of it, it's going to get a lot worse. This was taken care of, and I think that the owners used the right judgment in doing what they could to preserve that tree. And that tree generates oxygen.
Are you willing to accept their proposal?
I guess which proposal are we referring to? The leaving of the tree and planting?
Well, they were talking about putting two other trees up.
That's what I heard them say.
Two-inch caliber trees.
And having it inspected, right, again, every 6 months or whatever?
Keep treating it, keep trimming it. I mean, with proper trimming, the wind load issue will not be an issue.
What I would say to that is when it is inspected and serviced by TD Tree Service, that a report be sent to the arborist.
Fine, we have no problem with that.
So she can monitor that also.
My clients have no interest in having a tree out there that's decaying and dying. I mean,
right.
I agree, even with insurance, they don't want to have that problem. If that becomes an issue, you get a report that says it's decayed, it's dying, there's cavities forming, which there aren't at this point, based upon our experts, then the tree will come down with proper permitting from the city and replacement.
And that's what the city wants of the property owners, to take proper care of his property. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you're offering to do that. So I think that with the considerations that have been brought forward this morning, I think the board kind of understands that you're doing what you can to take care of it. And the city has made a determination that you went too far, and you admitted that the previous contractor did that. Are there any further questions from the board members?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a motion. Given that this case has been going on for over a year and that the tree 1 year later is still as healthy as it was a year ago, I move that this case be dismissed and that the city be requested, we don't have the authority to direct, be requested to reinspect the tree every 6 months by an independent registered arborist. And in the event that that arborist determines that the health of the tree has deteriorated and it is now a risk, that the city bring the case back before this board.
I second that.
Well, I have a motion and a second.
Okay, let me jump in. If the case is dismissed, you can't order the property owner to do anything.
My terminology was request.
Okay, I think what I heard, sir, was you asked the city to do an inspection.
I requested the city.
Okay, and the city is obviously not the respondent. So the case would be dismissed. There would be nothing that would be required of the respondent property owner. So you're simply asking the city to do the inspection. Now, remember, this is a tree on private property. So to the degree that we can hire someone or have someone go out on private property, to the extent that they can do the inspection not going on the private property, I just want to make sure we're clear. I'm sure the city's happy to do this, but we've got to make sure that they have the ability to do it. And so I would try to just point that out to you. It's a private property. If they've got to go out there and climb in the tree or hug the tree or chop the tree or whatever. I mean, they can't do that. It's private property. So, we need to talk about that.
I'm not allowed to do that, just so you're aware. I'm not allowed to do that.
I understand that. The city is still under exactly the same restrictions that they are on every single inspection that they do on any property under any conditions. And I understand that. Okay. And my motion stands.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Are there any further questions in reference to the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, so ordered. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Our next case is AI 24 and 25. We'll start with case number 24. Case number 201501286, a recurring case, City of Palm Coast versus Guillermino S. and Anna C. Medeiros, 5 Lindenhurst Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district.
Good morning. For the record, the respondents are present. I'm Code Enforcement Officer McDonald for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence the city's composite one proven proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 8th day of October, a warning notice was written in 2014. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 19th day of December 2014, a warning notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current warning notice was written on the 7th day of January 2015, giving 1 hour to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 9th day of March 2015, and the violation has been corrected. This was the third notice given for the same violation on this property. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in the case, the city is requesting the board impose the following. A no-fine standing order B. An administrative cost of $53.50.
All right. Is Guillermino or Anna Medeiros here?
I'm the son. My father's right there. He just don't speak too much English.
Okay. State your name, sir.
Lino Medeiros.
Into the microphone.
Lino Medeiros.
Okay. And you're the son of?
Gail Medeiros and Anna Medeiros.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, basically, it was a tenant we had. The tenant's been evicted, so I'm assuming all the problems have been corrected.
Okay. So this is a rental property?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the tenant is no longer there?
No, sir.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept a motion.
Move to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. All right. Our next case, sir.
Can I, if I could explain to the respondents what that means. What that means is that you find that it was in violation. There's not going to be a fine imposed for the trailer. But if it happens again, then there's a likelihood that there'll be a fine. I just want to make sure they understand. So
I just have a question for that. I understand that, but if we have tenants and they do that, I don't believe we can control what the tenant does.
But our code, we understand that, sir, and that's taken into consideration. But the code does place the equal responsibility not just on the tenants but on the property owner. I mean, there's a balancing that has to be done here between the rights
understand.
Of all the neighbors as well as and there's, you know, the fact that you're a landlord, you've done the right thing, you've got the tenant out of there, but there's also the consideration of all the neighbors, too.
I understand that.
All right. Did we vote on that one?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. Okay. Let's go on to case number two. Brian, I could use some form, please. Our next case is AI 25.
We're having technical difficulties.
They were still having a little IT problem. We just take breaks.
You mean we actually have an IT person?
Can we take a picture?
All right. Let's. Let's just take a rest here for about 5 or 10 minutes while our IT person, live IT person, by the way. Technically, are we ready to?
The respondent agreed to sign a stipulated no fine standing order. His name is Gil Manderos. And it was with case 2015-010287 in regard to the swale damage. It existed at the property at 5 Lindenhurst Lane. He signed that there's an administrative cost in amount of $53.50 that shall be assessed. And the back of it's just stating that who I am, Code Enforcement McDonald. And again, it's signed by him on the back. and it was notarized by Bill Rye.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go on to AI 15. 1-5.
Be a motion to
stipulated agreement.
It needs to be a motion to accept the stipulation between the city and the respondent.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the stipulated agreement. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, so ordered. Our next case is AI 15. Case number 20140820 96. It's a request for reduction. The City of Palm Coast versus William P. and Janet N. Stoughton, 1 Pacific Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district.
Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I'd just like to inform the board that this property was in repeat violation again from February 5th and February 6th of this year for the trailer.
All right, is William P. or Janet N. Stoughton here?
My name is Bill Stoughton, and I'm the landowner, and this is the tenant. I did everything I could as a landlord to motivate him to not to park his trailer there. I'm limited to what I can do. I even offered him a commercial site to leave his equipment. And beyond that, I don't know what to do. I am in the process of evicting him now.
Okay. And you're saying that, is the trailer still parked there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, may I inquire?
What is the amount that they're trying to get reduced?
$12,000.
Okay.
That was my question.
Are there any questions from the board members? They're asking for a reduction and a fine of $12,000.
What was the period that accrued that significant fine?
From August 14, I believe. I don't know if it's appropriate, but I'd like to have fine eliminated. It's going to be me that pays the fine, and I don't know what else I could have done. I am limited by law. I couldn't go in there and move the trailer. I talked to Jack about his civic responsibilities, his responsibilities to me, and offered him another place to put it. And a trailer would come and go. You know, if it was a violation to the house, I would have fixed it. But there absolutely wasn't anything I could do.
And did you come in to the board meeting on previous times when this was?
I didn't, because Jack said he was going to come in.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there. And,
okay.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask a question of the city, please? If I could ask a question of the city, please.
Go ahead.
This is a request for reduction, so it must be just a fine. We have not had a Massey hearing. There's not been a Massey order entered?
No.
Okay, so this is a fine. $12,000, if we have not had the Massey hearing, how do you calculate the $12,000?
This was initially a repeat violation, and it was in repeat violation from August 25th, 2014 to December 22nd, 2014 at $100 a day.
Okay.
My concern is this, and board members, I don't know if you're going to agree with me or not, but how do we know if we even think about a reduction, how do we know that the trailer is not going to pop up the day after we vote on it?
Well, I am evicting him.
I understand that, but you understand that you have some legal limitations, that if we vote on this today to reduce the fine, and tomorrow he puts that trailer back on there, It's not going to look that good. When is his eviction up? When is he supposed to be out by?
By the end of March.
By the end of March.
May I question the reduction of the fine? Are we talking about eliminating the $12,000 or reducing it to a smaller amount?
Well, I'd like to see it eliminated. I'm the one that's going to pay the fine. Jack hasn't even paid his rent in months.
Again, we ran into a situation at the last meeting. We have a problem that is a potential problem that could reoccur. If we vote on this today to cut it in half, to reduce it to nothing, whatever we vote on, and this trailer could be parked back there tomorrow, still being in violation of the city code, and our hands are tied until the end of the month. Do you have anything in writing? Do you have a copy of the eviction notice that you gave them?
Mr. Chairman?
It's a process. You start with the three-day notice. I gave them the three-day notice on the 3rd.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, this has already reoccurred. And technically, if it's still in violation, we shouldn't be here at all. But the city would recommend putting this over for a month to see, and then he can come back and ask for a reduction then.
Okay.
And then he can, 2 months, I'm sorry, 2 months. And then he can present the paperwork and show that it's the person's been evicted.
That's fair enough.
Mr. Staunton, do you understand what the city's saying?
Oh, yes.
Okay. If the board votes on this to
continue
this case for 2 months, then this individual will no longer be your tenant. And then you can bring your paperwork forward and we can look at this without not having the possibility of this coming up again by the same tenant. The same tenant didn't listen to you when you brought the information to him before. I don't believe that we should be discussing it until he's out of there, if you see what I'm saying. Do I have any further questions from the board members?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, I should say the May Code Board.
The May
Code
Board.
May Code Board.
Right. May.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just for the gentleman's knowledge, the city is not going to agree to zero fine, just so he knows that.
Well, we can take that into consideration in May.
I'd like to make a motion.
I'd like to make
a motion for continuance for the hearing of this case for the May Code Board meeting.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to continue this case to the May Code Board meeting. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So ordered. All right, Mr. Staunton, you understand where we're going with this?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next case is AI 26. Case number 20141104245, a recurring case, 5 times.
Good morning.
City of Palm Coast versus Arnolfo S. and Clarita Jimenez, 17 Evansville Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 41-11(a), trash containers.
I believe the respondent, somebody signed in for him. I'm not sure if it's the owner or not. Code Enforcement Officer Risch with the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence the city's composite, giving proper service along with numerous photographs. These photographs depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 24th day of May 2013, a warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, a violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 28th day of February 2014, warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 17th day of September 2014, a warning notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. Current warning notice was written on the 8th day of November 2014, given 1 day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this case and all cases. A recheck on the property was conducted before Code Board on the 10th day of March 2015, and the violation has been corrected. This is the 4th notice given on the same violation, property and property owner. Based on the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following: no fine, standing order B. reoccurring violation in compliance with an administrative cost of $5,350.
Is Mr. and Mrs. Jimenez here?
My name is Peter Phillips, and I'm representing Clarita Jimenez and the tenants that are there now.
Okay. Do you have anything in writing? How are you related to them?
No.
Okay.
I just do her a favor that when she has any work done on the house, I just tell her if it's been done and that she pays the people.
Okay.
But
do you have anything in writing from them saying that you can represent them?
No.
Okay.
The Mr. tenants Alford, that live there now.
Mr. Chairman, city doesn't object. You can go ahead and speak as far as the city is concerned.
The city does not?
We don't, no. He if the board says he can speak, the city's not going to object.
Okay. Board members feel it's okay? Fine. Go ahead, sir. State your name.
Peter Phillips.
Okay.
I live at 19 Kristen Court in Palm Coast.
Okay.
And Mrs. Jimenez asked me to check on this for her. The tenants that are there now are moving out by the end of the month, and they assured me from now until the end of the month, the garbage pail by the end of the day will be put in the garage.
This is a recurring case, sir, that's happened 5 times.
If I could put it in the garage, I'd do it myself, but I just can't get in their garage. So that when they come home from work, they move it, but sometimes they don't put it in the garage. But they assured me from now until the end of the month, they're moving, it will be in the garage by the end of the day.
Okay, are there any further questions from the board members?
I do. This has happened 5 times, correct? How many other times did the tenants assure the owner that the trash cans would be put in the garage?
I didn't even know about it. I only knew about it about a week ago.
But the homeowner has known about it 4 previous times then.
I'm sure, yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, what is the city's recommendation?
Hey, that was my question.
No fine order B and administrative costs in the amount of $5,350.
I'm okay with that. I make a recommendation that we accept the city's recommendation. I make a motion we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. Are there any questions in reference to the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, so ordered. All right, sir. Thank you. Our next case is AI 30. There's 4 cases together, 30, 31, 32, and 33. The first one, AI 30, is case number 20141103 49. A recurring case, 3 times. The City of Palm Coast versus Daniel and Sandra Laird, 12 Zonal Court, Palm Coast Code Section 41-11A, trash containers.
For the record, the respondents are present. Code Enforcement Officer Risch with the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence, city's composite, providing proper service along with numerous photographs. I would like to just point out that these 4 cases kind of run concurrent, so they're going to be the same verbiage. All 4 violations existed on all the visits.
Okay, why don't you give us a verbiage on one of them?
Okay.
And then give us the city's recommendation on all 4 of them.
Okay. On the 15th day of, this one will be for the lawn, on the 15th day of February 2012, a warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, a violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 22nd day of May 2012, a warning notice was written, and upon a reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 19th day of June 2012, a warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 22nd day of October 2014, a warning notice was written, and upon a reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. Current warning notice was written on the 9th day of November 2014. Giving 1 day to comply. A recheck of the property was conducted on the 10th day of March 2015, and the violation has been corrected. This is the 4th notice given on the same violation of the property and property owner. Based on the testimony and evidence of the case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. No fine standing order B, administrative cost of $5,350. And that's going to be on all four.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask one question of the city, please. Which case is this now?
This was
AI
30. No, I'm sorry.
No, I understand that, but I mean, he said it had to do with the yard.
Yeah.
We've got four cases. They are trash containers, parking of trailer in residential district,
parking on the lawn, and parking on the median.
Oh, so that's what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, so this the is this, okay. I misunderstood. I thought it was about the yard, but yeah. it's about parking
right.
on the
yeah.
yard. Okay,
so we're all under 44-34.
Yeah. Yes.
Is Daniel or Sandra Laird here? Okay, come forward, sir, and state your name.
Daniel Laird.
Okay, and what do you have to say, sir?
I race cars on the weekend, and usually I only get home between 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night going into Sunday. So Sunday morning, I spend all day cleaning the car, getting it unloaded, get it back in the garage. And then I usually take my trailer to destination, usually by Monday. But sometimes I run a little late, so I do it Monday night because I work late.
Okay, now, I see that in reference to the vehicle and trailer that you're talking about, it's a recurring case six times.
Yeah, because I race it every Saturday. That's
okay,
what I
but
do.
We understand that, but that's six times you were notified. I mean, normally, I would think that the first time you would have taken care of it. Then there's one here, four times you were parking in the median.
Well, one of those vehicles ain't mine. It was my neighbor's. So I got a warning for my neighbor's trucks parked in the middle by my house, and it wasn't in my truck. I admit the gray truck or silver truck, that's my daughter's, which, you know, kids don't always listen to the parents, so...
Well, but using that same analogy, sir, I don't think you're listening to the city. I think that the city's, it totals up here, you've got four reoccurring, six reoccurring, that's 10. Then you've got five reoccurring, and then you've got three reoccurring, that's 18 times.
So you're saying that...
So you're talking about the kid next door, but you're not listening to the city.
I don't know what you mean, because I go racing every Saturday. So I try to get my trailer back to where I keep it by Monday or Tuesday. So I try to do that. I thought we had like 3 days to, you know, do maintenance on the trailer or, you know, have 3 days to get it out of there.
Okay. The city code states that a parking of a trailer in a residential district, that doesn't say 1 hour, it doesn't say 3 days, it doesn't say a week. It says parking of a trailer in a residential district. The pictures... tell me that trailer
that's
was...
That's not my truck, though.
Huh?
I said that's not my truck.
I'm not talking about the truck. I'm talking about the trailer.
It's the parking on the lawn.
You know, I mean, there's I see a whole bunch of violations there. So I'll be willing to listen to whatever you have to say, and I'm sure the board will be too, but we have to look at how many violations you've had. And your neighbors, I'm sure, don't necessarily like it, but they don't care if you go racing just on Saturdays. There's a whole bunch of people in Palm Coast that go to see the races every Saturday, and they don't have that stuff parked in their driveway. But okay, are there any questions from the board members?
I have a question of the CEO. How were these violations derived?
The original violation was complaint-driven for the median.
Okay.
Because there was actually damage to the median, and on one occasion the mowers for the city could not do what they were supposed to do because of the vehicles being parked there.
Thank you.
But he's telling us that it's not his truck. In the meeting,
one of them.
Well,
that one
that's
of them.
That's vehicle. My daughter's vehicle. Oh. And, you know how kids are.
That's not the city's problem.
No, I know.
That's okay. Your problem.
Are there any further questions from the board members?
The one picture of the truck with the trailer on the side of the house. You said that was your daughter's truck?
No, that was my truck. I was probably in the backyard doing something, and you probably drove through, so I was probably out there because all my vehicles were there that day. So I don't know, if I was doing something back there and I was moving the truck back out or what. I don't know.
I hear a whole bunch of reasons why the truck is there. Visually, I can almost see a trailer parked behind that truck behind your house.
Is that your truck or is that your daughter's truck?
No, that's my truck.
Then what's, where's the trailer belong to?
Where does it belong to?
Yeah. Does it belong to that truck?
Yeah.
So that's your daughter's trailer.
No, that's his truck.
That's his trailer.
But the thing is, you know, I could have been in the house, you know, getting ready to come outside to move that trailer. You know, you never know. So I don't know where I was at that time. You know, I have possibility.
Well, it looks like the city knew where you were every time they hit you with 18 different violations.
Oh, yeah.
Are there any further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second. On all four cases?
Yes.
Okay. And we have a second on all four cases?
So what am I supposed to do when I go racing?
Excuse me, sir. Hold on. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions in reference to the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So ordered. All right, sir. On all the four violations you have, you've been given a no fine order. Excuse me, sir. You've been given a no fine order B, which means there is no fine. But you have on each case $5,350 in administrative costs that you must pay the city. Okay? Thank you very much.
Now I got a question, though. When I go racing on the weekends, what am I supposed to do with my trailer? Am I supposed to unload my car at 1 o'clock in the morning? Because it is a race car. I mean, it is loud. You know, what am I supposed to do?
You park it in a storage facility.
Yeah, no, but when I'm unloading it, like if I unload it on Sunday.
Then you unload it in your driveway because you're going to work on it, and they'll probably fine you for having a race car in your driveway.
No,
but
I'll
then you take your trailer over to a storage facility.
You can't roll it in there?
Yeah, I'll be unloading it in the garage.
Well, unload it and put it in the garage and leave and put your trailer where it needs to be.
Yeah, but that's fine. But what if I go in the house real quick to do something and they come by and give me a fine for having my trailer?
Sir, we're not going to say that you can park your trailer in your driveway for a half hour. It says, the code says, trailer in a residential district. That's a residential district. You can't have trailers, period. Not for 10 minutes, not for an hour. You can't have them there. If you're going to drop something off, then I don't think the city's going to nail you for it if you drop your car off, as long as you're pulling down the street 5 minutes later. If you're going to go in the house and have lunch and do whatever, watch the football game or watch the races or whatever you want to do, then you're at fault. You've just now been found to be in violation of four separate codes. So now you should be thinking about what your next step to do with that trailer. It shouldn't be there anymore, or cars parked on your lawn or whatever in that swale. All right, let's go on to the next case. Our next case is AI 19. Case number 201-411-0766. It's a repeat violation, one time. City of Palm Coast versus Gerardo A. Aguilar, 58 Post View Drive. Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district.
Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photos. These photos that I took depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 5th of May, 2013. This violation was corrected. The repeat warning notice was written on the 20th day of November, 2014, giving the appropriate required time to comply as per Florida statute. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above-cited code for the period of the 20th November 2014 to the 21st of November 2014. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 22nd day of November 2014, and a violation has been corrected. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Complied repeat violation D, requesting a fine of $50 a day for 2 days in violation, totaling $100, and administrative costs of $69.50.
Is Mr. Aguilar here? it. State your name, sir.
Gerardo Aguilar. Gerardo Aguilar.
Okay. And what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think with all these cases, everything is clear for me. I mean, I work construction. Sometimes I go out of town. And that's a picture when I did a garage sale that I have to go out work the next day. So I didn't have time to remove my trailer, and I just leave it there.
Okay, and the city, you understand that the city's looking at $50 a day for the 2 days that you were in a repeat violation?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board members?
I make a motion we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. Are there any questions on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? So ordered. All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Our next case is AI 17, case number 201-410-1365, a recurring case, five times. City of Palm Coast versus James and Wilma White, 32 Pleasant Lane, A, Palm Coast Code Section 15-108D, weeds and overgrowth.
Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service along with numerous photos. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case as follows. On the 22nd of August, 2013, a courtesy notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 20th day of February, 2014, a warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 10th day of May, 2014, a warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 18th day of August, 2014, a warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. On the 22nd day of September, 2014, a warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected, and the case was closed. The current warning notice was written on the 24th day of October 2014, giving 1 day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted before Code Board on the 31st day of October 2014, and a violation has been corrected. This is the sixth notice given for the same violation on this property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following: a no fine standing order B, recurring, and administrative cost of $53.50.
Is James or Wilma White here?
Good morning.
Good morning.
State your name, sir.
My name is Gustin Mercius. I'm a tenant of this address.
You are?
My name is Gustin Mercius, so we rent this house.
You rent the house?
Yeah.
Okay, you're the tenant?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the problem is because we don't have a machine for the grass, so we pay someone to do it for us. But when the person is busy, so it takes time to do it. But for now, we bought a machine, so it's not going to happen again.
You said you bought your own lawnmower, so you better fix it yourself.
Yeah, we do it like twice a month for now.
I didn't catch the last part to the CEO. I didn't catch the last part. Is this corrected?
I checked. I'm pretty sure I went by there Monday, and yet the grass is cut.
It is cut. Okay. Are there any?
Mr. Chairman, I think that the code officers are indicating that there were two folks that have come in late, and we just want to get them sworn in. If we could do that, please.
Okay. Were you sworn in, sir?
What?
Were you sworn in?
At the very beginning of the meeting, did you come in and everybody stood up and were you? Did you
no,
come
I
in?
No, I came in late.
Okay. Let's go ahead and swear. But
could you please get sworn in? Please, sir, raise your right hand.
Do you anticipate testifying?
Yeah.
If you would stand up. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you provide today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So you're saying that you're now cutting the grass every 2 weeks?
Twice a month.
Okay. And I presume that the landlord's been made aware of this. He's got his notice.
Every time he was issued a warning notice, a courtesy notice.
Okay. Are there any further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion, we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. Are there any questions in reference to the motion? If not, I'll accept the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, so ordered. All right, sir, thank you. That's the last case we have where people are attending. Are you here for a case, sir?
Yes.
What is the name?
Robert Green.
What address?
36 Cypress.
36 Battery.
Okay. That's 8, 14.
6 and 7. 7.
6 and 7.
6 and 7.
Yeah, 6 and 7.
Okay, let's go to AI 14 before.
6 and 7.
6 and 7.
6 and 7, 6 and 7, sorry. Go to AI 6 and 7.
Does that guy really understand what?
And then we'll take a break.
Okay.
First case is case number 20141108 41. A repeat violation, the City of Palm Coast versus Robert L. McCraney, 36 Becker Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a trailer in a residential district.
For the record, the respondent is present. I'm Court Officer Luis Mendez for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence City Composite 1 proving proper service, along with several photographs. These photos taken depict the conditions and date as time is indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code on the 4th day of April 2012. The violation was corrected. The repeat warning notice was written on the 23rd day of November 2014. Given the appropriate time to comply, preferred statute 16206-3 and 16209-1 is given 0 days for a repeat violation. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above-cited code for the period of November 23, 2014 to December 1, 2014. In compliance, December 2, 2014. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 10th day of March, 2015. The violation has been corrected. It's the first repeat on this property. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the that the board impose the following. Comply repeat violation motion D, requesting a fine of $50 a day for 9 days in violation for a total of $450, plus administrative costs of $69.50.
Is Mr. Robert L. McCraney here? Come forward, sir. State your name.
Robert L. McCraney.
Okay, and what do you have to say, sir?
I bought a trailer from somebody. They needed the money. I turned around and sold it. I had to sit it at my house. I usually keep my equipment at my shop, but I had it at my house so people come look at it after hours when I got home. I sold the trailer, and it's gone.
I mean, yeah, I noticed that it has been corrected. It hasn't been back?
No. Huh?
Okay.
No, I sold it.
Okay. Can we hear the second case, please? Both related?
Yeah, it's basically the same thing, except it was parking on the lawn. The trailer parked on the lawn.
But that's also been corrected?
Yes, sir. The trailer's gone.
Are you also looking for 2 days or 9 days at?
$450 plus administrative cost of $69.50.
So it would be a total of $900 plus $69.50 twice?
That would be correct.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Aye.
Going once. Going twice.
Mr. Chair, I make the motion that the board levy fine of $100 on combined cases with a $69.50 administrative fee on each case.
I second that.
And
that's
that
a total of $100.
$100 plus $69.50 or $69.50 for each case?
$69.50
plus $69.50. Okay. So we have a motion to make the fine $100 total with administrative costs twice in the amount of $69.50. Do I hear any questions on the motion? May there be no questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. Do you understand that, sir?
Yeah, what do I do now?
Okay. You want to talk to the code enforcement officer, and he'll tell you how to proceed, move forward.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, let's take a 10-minute break and come back at 10:30. All right, let's get back to our meeting on March 11th, 2015 of the Code Board. We're going to hear one more case. We have somebody here, and it's AI 21. It's case number 201-410-1371. It's a recurring case, three times, City of Palm Coast versus Johnny Williams, 86 Lancelot Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 15-108D, weeds and overgrowth.
For the record,
good morning, Lewis.
Good morning. The respondent is present. He hasn't been sworn in.
Correct.
Do you want me to continue, or you want to swear him
in? Yeah, go ahead and continue. We'll swear him in once you're...
Okay. It is a recurring violation. The respondent is here. He's present. Code Enforcement Officer McDonald for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering to evidence the city composite one proven proper service along with numerous photographs. These photos depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. On the 24th day of May 2013, a warning notice was written, and upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 16th day of September 2013, a warning notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. On the 3rd day of June 2014, a warning notice was written. Upon reinspection, the violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current warning notice was written on the 24th day of October 2014, giving 3 days to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in this and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 9th day of March 2015, and a violation has been corrected. This is the fourth notice given for the same violation on this property. Based upon the testimony ever submitted in the case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following, a no-fine standing order B, an administrative cost of $53.50.
All right, is Johnny Williams here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, could you come forward? You were not sworn in before. So if you'd raise your right hand, the attorney will swear you in.
Sir, do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you give today be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. If you could give your name and address for the record.
Give us your name, please.
Johnny Williams.
Okay. And what do you have to say in reference to this, sir?
What I say is, if you look at my yard today, I think this is, that is a violation. But there's a thing on my garage door now, a violation, and there's no weeds in my yard. Now I walk around Palm Coast, various neighborhoods, every day, and I see yards 10 times worse than mine. They're not here, so I think whoever is the inspector is or whatever is just singling me out for whatever reason, and it's not fair. Okay, because if you go to my house today and look at my yard, there's no weeds, but there is a code enforcement or whatever on my garage door. I can take them off, but I don't care about the thing. Everybody walk by or drive by, look at my house, they see the little sign up there. You know, I really can care less about that because I think it's a bunch of bull.
Okay.
And anybody see my yard, they're going to pretty much say the same thing.
All right. Mr. McDonald, has this been corrected?
Yes. What he has on there now is the notice of hearing. It's a pink plaque that's been up there. And as you can see, it was going on since 2013. Somebody complains. We go out there. And you see all the photos that are there. They're all dated. It shows clearly that there are overgrown weeds there.
All right. That 26214. What's that?
That's weeds.
I see houses 10 times.
And they get written too. We just had probably 5 or 10 people here for very similar
before you got here.
Violations. This is an ordinance that we have. You have to mow your lawn, and that's what it is.
All right. Do I have any questions from the board members?
I have one more thing. Now, you see the circular drive I had put in?
Yeah.
I had wanted to do that a little different, but I was told 15 feet from the road in belonged to the city. Is that correct?
Well, it may be the right of way, but you are required to maintain that right of way.
Okay. Could I do anything to that other than grass?
Well, if you don't do anything to it, you're going to be charged with.
Mr. Chairman, these are not questions that the board could answer. If he's got questions about what he can do on his property, he needs to come down to City Hall and talk to the zoning and the permitting people.
Okay.
Could that be wrong?
You need to talk to the zoning and the
talk to the zoning department in the city of Palm Coast. They can tell you what you can do with what you can't do. Are there any further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation of a no fine order B and $6,250 in administrative costs. All those in favor say aye.
$5,350.
My hearing aid's not working. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, so ordered. All right, sir. Thank you.
I'll oppose.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. You might want to talk with a zoning department in the city hall if you know you want to.
Okay, so if I feel like I'm being singled out, what's my next? What can I do?
You go to the city hall.
Can I get an attorney?
You can get an attorney. You can do anything you want.
I think it's BS because, like I said, I walk around and not just in my neighborhood, but in other sections, and I see houses 10 times worse than mine, as well as 10 times worse than mine.
If you were to file complaints, then the city would issue them.
Well, I don't
complain
about nobody's yard. That's their yard. They want to What are you complaining about? I'm complaining about? It's
your yard.
That I'm being singled out for no reason.
Right, you're not being singled out, sir.
Mr. Chairman? Can we move on?
Yeah.
This gentleman needs to leave. Yeah. His case is over.
Right. Who are you? Who is that guy?
He's a city official, sir.
Okay, but do he overrule you guys?
No.
Okay, then he.
We make a decision, sir,
okay,
if you are in violation of the code.
Okay, so
you have been found in violation of the code, sir. Sir, your case is over with. There's no changes to the decision we made. You need to talk with the city hall,
but go down
there and visit with them.
I'm not through trying to present my case.
The case is over with, sir.
Okay, but if I'm not doing my case, then how y'all going to close it?
We already voted on it.
We've already voted on it.
Without me finishing my.
You had the opportunity to say something, sir. You don't have the opportunity any longer.
Don't let me finish.
Okay. Do you want me to have the sheriff come in here and physically remove you, sir?
If that's what you want to do, I don't care.
Then you need to leave the room.
My salary pay all y'all. My taxes pay all y'all salaries.
We're all volunteers, sir. But thank you for the raise.
I guarantee you, not quite part of half of y'all, not even from Florida. You're probably from up north somewhere.
I'm a Floridian.
Want to start some BS? Y'all have a nice day.
You too.
Right.
Cut your grass. If he's got time to walk.
Eight. Case number 2014110846, the City of Palm Coast versus Carl L. and Pauline F. Ziff and Courtney V. Ziff.
Mr. Chairman, he's outside with the inspector.
Oh, sheesh.
Who?
The inspector's outside with Mr. Williams.
Can we go to the next one?
Okay.
He's back. Oh, here he is.
Sorry.
AI-9 was withdrawn, am I correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
AI-10, case number 2014.
We're back.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, I was taking care of the gentleman.
Okay, we were just about to give the address of 34 Easterly Place, Palm Coast Code Section 44-34C, parking of a commercial vehicle in a residential district.
Court Officer Luis Mendez of the City of Palm Coast. The respondent is not present. I'm entering to evidence city composite one proving proper service along with photographs taken that depict the conditions and date as time is indicated. The facts of the case as follows. The current notice of violation was written on the 23rd day of November 2014, given one day to comply. Proper noticing procedures were followed in all cases. Came into compliance on the 22nd day of February 2015. Recheck of the property was conducted before code board, and the violation has been corrected. This is the first notice given for the same violation on this property and property owner. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board should impose the following. Motion A, no fine standing order, plus $53.50 administrative cost to the city.
Are there any questions from the board members?
I believe we've had other cases where we've had FedEx trucks. I mean, one was on Florida Park Drive where they bring the truck home and leave it overnight. It's a similar situation with FedEx, and they're not covering the names on it.
I believe that the board in the past determined that a first responder vehicle, such as a police car or a fire department truck, or a wrecker if they're on call for emergency dispatches by the police department were the only ones that we would accept.
No, I'm saying we had this a similar case with a FedEx truck a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Same situation where they bring the truck home and they've got to leave or they're delivered at night, but no excuse for it, I guess.
Right. Do we have any more questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered. All right, our case, AI-10, case number 2014-101369, a repeat violation 9 times. The City of Palm Coast versus Jason Hambrick. 18 Emmons Lane, Palm Coast Code, Section 44-34D2, parking of a boat.
For the record, respondents not present. Code Enforcement Officer Ballard for the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering into evidence the City's Composite 1, proving proper service, and a copy of the original code board along with 4 photographs. These photos that I took depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case were as follows. The respondent was previously found in violation of the same code the 7th day of November 2014. This violation was corrected. The repeat warning notice was written on the 2nd day of November 2014, giving the appropriate required time to comply as Florida Statute Chapter 162.063 and 162.091. The respondent was in repeat violation of the above cited code for a period of November 2nd, 2014. To November 6, 2014, recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 7th of November, 2014, and the violation has been corrected. Based upon testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. D, complied repeat violation requesting a fine of $1,000 a day for 5 days and administrative costs of $74.
Are there any questions from the board members?
Why so high, $1,000 a day?
That's well, nice, with this be the ninth repeat that's actually been before this board 10 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the respondent's not here at all.
No.
He doesn't care.
Yes. It's not a rental either.
No.
He knows that he doesn't care. He's going to live there for the rest of his life.
Are there any further questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Thank you. Okay. I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So ordered. Our next case is AI-14. Case number 2014-071334. It's a Massey case. The City of Palm Coast versus Joseph McCabe, 95 Buford Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 17-39A, residential rental program.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer Romeo for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering into evidence the city's composite one proving proper service and a copy of the original board order along with numerous photos. This case was heard on the 5th of November, 2014. The order was signed on the 7th of November, 2014, giving 10 days to comply, which would have been the 17th of November, 2014, or a fine of $50 per day. The property was in violation from November 17, 2014 to March 10, 2015, a total of 114 days at $50 a day for a total fine of $5,700. Based upon the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following. Massey Mosin G is still in violation at administrative cost of $69.50.
Are there any questions from the board members?
This is a residential rental.
Yes.
The boat has nothing to do with it.
No, that's. I wrote it for the boat initially, and then after looking into it, found it wasn't registered.
We do that to show that it is occupied. Yeah. Because if it wasn't occupied, it wouldn't be rental.
Are there any further questions?
Yeah,
has the property ever been brought into rental? Has it finally been registered as a rental home?
In a way, it is registered. If you go into the database on rental registration, the owner is from California, and they need a property manager, and the property manager part has never been fulfilled.
So they have been notified in, actually, they're California, L.A.?
Yeah.
So they're aware of this?
Yes, they are.
If there be no further questions, I'll accept the motion.
One
more question.
How are we sure that they're aware of it? I mean, do they have to,
there's the mailing right there.
Yeah, I know that we mailed it, but do we know that they received it? Is there any way that we get confirmation back that they actually received the information?
The Florida statutes in our code requires that we comply with the minimum necessary notice requirements, and that is to send it by certified mail. And also to post the property or send it by regular U.S. mail. And that is the normal process. That is, there's not a more or different process for any type of notice. So if there's a notice of violation, notice of hearing, and that would have been what it would have been for today, would have been a notice of hearing for determination of the quantification of the fines. So the record has to reflect that the notice of today's hearing was sent consistent with the Florida statutes and in our code. So the notice that I can't read that, but I'm assuming that in the record the city is asserting and testifying, presenting evidence that the notice of today's hearing was sent to the property owner by certified mail, and property was posted if the certified mail did not come back, then the property has to be posted and you have to send it by regular mail. Is that the city's position?
The property was posted with the notice of hearing, and it was certified mailed because we get the certification number, and we take a picture of the tracking.
Okay. All right. So do we have proof that the certified mail was received?
No.
It says it was delayed. So do we have anything that says it went through?
No, it says it was departed from the Los Angeles facility. That's what it's.
Yeah, did we get the green? Do we have any evidence that the certified mail was received and signed for?
No, because it's.
But in the blue there, it says the package is delayed.
Delayed, and the final sentence is the item is currently in transit to the destination.
And that's fine. That's option A. The statute is very clear that if you don't have certified mail, then your fallback position is regular mail, and they post the property. That's what we normally do. And that was my question for staff: is did we send regular mail and post the property?
Yes.
But there is no requirement. Am I correct in saying this? There is no requirement for a signature. All there is a requirement is that
delivery. Right.
Delivery.
Yeah, and that's why I was asking, do we have evidence that it was delivered? And what I'm hearing today is we do not have evidence that the certified mail was delivered, but that's okay. because we've got the regular mail and posting of the property, which is required under the statute. Mm-hmm. Right?
Can we send them both out at the same time?
Right.
First class and
right. And that's what the statute requires.
Okay. Are there any further questions? I'll accept the motion.
I make a motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, so ordered. All right. Our next one will be AI 20, case number 2014080043. It's a Massey case. The City of Palm Coast versus Lance L. Thate, trustee, 42 Bunker View Drive, Palm Coast Code Section 15-108H, unlicensed vehicle.
For the record, the respondent is not present. Code Enforcement Officer McDonald for the City of Palm Coast. I am entering to evidence the city's composite one proof and proper service and a copy of the original board order, along with numerous photographs. This case was heard on the 4th of November, 2014. The order was signed on the 7th of November, 2014, giving 2 days to comply, which would have been the 12th of November, 2015, and a fine of $25 per day. The property was in violation from 11-12-14 to January 14, 2015, a total of 64 days at $25 a day for a total fine of $1,600. Based on the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting that the board impose the following: a Massey Motion F in compliance now, an administrative cost of $69.50.
Are there any questions of the board members?
So we have a $2,500 fine plus $69.50, correct?
No, we have a fine $1,600. It was $25 a day with 64 days.
And this has been corrected now then, right?
Vehicle has been removed.
Are there any further questions? If not,
we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, so ordered. Our next case is AI 29, case number 2014110476, a recurring case three times. The City of Palm Coast versus Matthew R. and Nicole R. Carlock, 33 Llewellyn Trail, Palm Coast Code Section 41-11A, trash containers.
For the record, the respondents are not present. Code Officer Risch with the City of Palm Coast. I'm entering in evidence the city's composite providing proper service along with several photographs. These photographs depict the conditions on the date and time as indicated. The facts of the case are as follows. The 16th day of July 2014, a warning notice was written. Upon reinspection, violation was corrected and the case was closed. The current warning notice was written on the 13th day of November 2014, given 1 day to comply. Proper procedures were followed in this case and all cases. A recheck of the property was conducted before code board on the 10th day of March 2015, and the violation has been correct. Second notice given, same violation for the property and property owner. Based on the testimony and evidence submitted in this case, the city is requesting the board impose the following, no fine standing order B, recurring violation in compliance with the administrative cost of $5,350.
Are there any questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion to accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, so ordered. We have five cases in a row as our last cases, starting at AI 34 through AI 38. All Massey cases. We'll start with AI 34, case number 2014060731. It's a Massey case. City of Palm Coast versus Philip J. and Christina Zapienza, 37 Braddock Lane, Palm Coast Code Section 15-114A, rubbish, trash, and garbage.
Morning, Michael Downing, City of Palm Coast. For the record, the respondents are not present. For the record, the testimony will be basically the same. There'll be two cases which with different dates and are not different dates, different times, and three cases that'll have a different than the first two cases. Entering into evidence, city's composite, one, proving proper service, and a copy of the original board order. This case was heard on the 1st of October, 2014. The order was signed on the 1st of October, 2014, giving 3 days to come into compliance or a fine of $25 per day till the property comes into compliance. This is for case 20140607 31 and case 20140617 97. I'll show you the original pictures so you can get an idea of what the property was did look like. And please note, this will be one of the other cases. Current, these are current pictures starting in January, going through February, and into March. Now, this is behind a fence, but the gate was open that day. Mm. Or down, actually, I should say. And again, this is what the neighbors have to look like and the neighbors complain, I mean, look at and complain about. Okay. For case ending 0731 and 1797, the property was in violation from October 10th, 2014 to March the 10th, 2015. The total of 151 days. At $25 per day for a total fine of $3,745. Based on testimony and evidence submitted in the case, city is requesting that the board impose the following. Massey Motion G, still in violation, the fine to continue, plus administrative cost of $69.50 for both of those cases.
So each one is 161 days at $25, or a total of $3,725 per case.
Yes, 151 days.
That's the two cases.
That's the two cases. First one, 0731 and 1797.
Just so the record's clear, what you have is you have the first two cases, 0731 and 1797. Testimony is that each one of these cases has been in violation, each, equally, 151 days, $25 per day, and it's still in violation. Is that correct, City?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Do I hear any questions from the board members?
Have the homeowners ever come before the board to present their case?
No, and the last time, or the first time I cited them, the wife came out, well, called me on the phone, and her words were, and I quote, because you're not going to like them, I quote, it's assholes like you to cause me a problem, unquote.
Well, no.
Do that as it may.
Do that as it may, you know.
Okay, are there any further questions from the board members? If not, I'll accept the motion on the first two cases, AI 34 and AI 35, case number 201406071, and case number 2014061797.
I make a motion we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation on both cases individually. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered.
All right. Thank you. For cases number 201406-1798, 201406-1800, and 201406-1801, testimony is as follows. Case was originally heard on 1st of October 2014. Order was signed on the 1st of October 2014, giving 5 days to come into compliance, or a fine of $25 per day until the property comes into compliance. Property was in violation from October the 14th, 2014, to March the 10th, 2015, a total of 147 days at $25 a day for a total fine of $3,675. Based on testimony and evidence submitted in this case and the other two cases, city is requesting that the board impose the following. Again, Massey Motion G, still in violation, fine to continue, plus administrative cost of $69.50 for each of the three cases.
Are there any questions from the board members?
That's $3,675 for each violation.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
1798, what's the violation there?
Pardon?
On 17, the first one.
Oh, general landscaping? Okay. All right, let's see here. Well,
that.
This part here, and let me see if I can find the other parts. This is the swale in the front. This is new damage. And again, these pictures were taken last Friday. These are the bins that are out, the trash that's out. Again, landscaping. And you saw the garage door, correct?
Yeah. Mm.
Garage door is just rotted, correct?
Well, I think I have one. There's also holes in it that they've put. Oh, there you go. I think that's putty or plaster or something that just stuck in the holes.
Yeah, the bottom 1 foot is open.
Well, that's open, I think, because it's up, not because it's rotted away.
And there's nothing for the putty to stick to.
I'm trying to be,
All right, are there any further questions from the board members on these three cases? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion we accept the city's recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to accept the city's recommendation on all three cases. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? So ordered.
Thank
all
you.
Right, is there any unfinished business?
Mr. Chairman, could I make an observation and a recommendation? Beginning of today's meeting, we had a sheriff here. And
where is he?
He left. And it's been my experience that at not just this city, but of the other cities that I represent, the standard operating procedure is that you have some sort of law enforcement for public safety at meetings. And it's been further my experience that such a preventative measure is especially valuable at meetings of code boards. And I think today was a perfect example of that. And nothing happened, and that's a great thing. But it would be my recommendation, and I intend to go back and talk to Barbara Grossman. But as the attorney for this board, unless you direct me otherwise, I think it would be advisable to try to request that the sheriff have someone here during the entirety of the meeting. because it's not always the first hearing that goes bad. It can be the last hearing that goes bad. And in this case, it's a perfect example of that. So unless you direct otherwise, my intention is to go from here and speak with Barbara and ask her to speak with the city manager to make sure that the sheriff is aware of our request.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree, because I think had he been sitting there, I don't think the man would have been as belligerent.
Right. Well, you just don't know.
Right.
I mean, and that's why it's the what ifs.
Right.
Let's just be candid. He could have gone out to his car.
Right.
And come back.
Exactly. Because there's not any type of metal.
No, there's not. And so we're not getting paid enough.
No. We're not taking enough of his tax dollars.
Please let me know what the response is from Barbara and see what we're going to do in the future.
I'll make sure Barbara lets everybody know.
I agree with you 100%. I've been in cases where people decide to make threats and everything else at the state level.
You just never know.
And we've had a security person there all the time, and all of those disappear.
Yeah.
It's like taking an aspirin. You know, it gets rid of all of
them. I just want y'all to know, I'm the city attorney. I'm not packing. So...
That's not my job.
You're lucky you're not a school teacher.
Well, I'm a martial artist, so, yeah.
Is there any old business? Is there any new business? All right, the next board meeting is April 1st, April Fool's Day, so we ought to have a ball at that. 2015. We look forward to seeing you all then.
We definitely need to have the sheriff then.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.